Epiphenomenalism is the view that the mind is indeed separate from the body, and events in the body or the brain cause events in the mind, but events in the mind don't cause anything. They are causally inefficacious, causally impotent, causally idle. They don't have any causal impact on anything. And that's a view, again, which people do particularly find very attractive, because once you're an epiphenomenalist, you've got to deny that the mind does have any causal influence on what happens in the world, and that's a very unattractive position, but it's a position you're very easily led to once you've adopted the dualistic outlook. Thirdly, with dualism, how do we explain the detail and the intricacy of the connection between the brain and the mind? The fact that anything that happens in the mind must have something simultaneous occurring in the brain. That kind of connection, that detailed connection, seems rather surprising given the metaphysical outlook of dualism. Why isn't the brain just a simple device which just serves to connect the mental substance with the body? Why does it need to have all that kind of detail unless the brain plays a more constitutive role in making the mind what it is, rather than just the role of a kind of radio receiver, taking what's going on in the mind and translating it into what might go on inside the body? So the complexity of the brain and the complexity of its relation to the mind seems puzzling according to the dualistic outlook. So the dualism leaves the mind suspiciously remote from the body. It's a kind of dangling ethereal appendage, a mysterious floating ethereal immaterial something. We can't really say what it is. We can't really say how it's connected to the body. We have trouble explaining psychophysical causation, how the mind and brain are causally connected. All of these problems made many philosophers, I think probably almost all philosophers of the current time, extremely reluctant to accept dualism. So the orthodox view these days is materialism. What should we say about materialism? Well, the trouble with materialism is perhaps equally severe. Materialism is an economical view. It says that all there is in the world is just physical events. There's nothing else over and above that. There's none of these spooky substances that Descartes talked about. It's an economical, it's a scientific view, it's a down-to-earth view. For that, all of those reasons, it seems attractive. The trouble with it is, and I think it would have been obvious to you as I explained materialism, it would have been obvious to you, and I intended this to be obvious as I explained it, that the view does far too much violence to the way we ordinarily think about the mind. It's a radically revisionary view about the mind. It almost sounds as if it's saying there is no mind. It's not intending to say that. It's trying to say, well, there is a mind, just that the mind is a brain. It's just the brain. But when you hear the view, you say, well, it sounds to me like it's tantamount to the view that there is no mind. So let's put that a bit more precisely. According to materialism, the mind is reducible to the brain. So there's everything about the mind can be explained in terms of the brain. One is entirely explicable in terms of the other. So we need to bring on this idea of reducibility. It's the idea there's nothing to the mind over and above the brain. There's no remnant to the mind once the facts about the brain have been taken into account. Well, this reducibility which comes from materialism, the idea there's nothing but the brain there to the mind, that's all there is, it has an obvious problem, and it can be put in a very straightforward way. It's this. Let's consider having knowledge of somebody's brain. Suppose I have knowledge of your brain, and I know all about what's going on inside the neurons, even down to the last biochemical event going on inside there. So I've got full physical knowledge of your brain. Does that mean I have knowledge of your mind? I know what's going on inside your mind? Well, surely the answer to that is no. I don't know what's going on in your mind just by knowing what's going on in your brain. Partly this is connected with the problem of other minds that I talked about in the very first lecture. If knowledge of your brain were sufficient to constitute your mind, surely I would know that you had a mind, and there'd be no possibility of scepticism about whether you have a mind. But isn't it clear that if I know all about your brain, I can still say, well, I know his neurons are doing this, I know all about the chemistry of what's going on. What I don't know is the way he sees the colours of things, for example. I don't even know whether or not he's a zombie, a robot without any consciousness at all. So I can't really infer, I can't deduce from what's going on in your brain what's going on inside your mind.